Good morning. I am grateful this morning for the opportunity that we have to express our thanks, our appreciation, which really sound like weak words when we think of eternal life. But I'm here this morning along with you to express our thanks and our honor and praise to Jesus Christ for our redemption. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to look at verses 3 through 14. And I was talking with Phil before the service, and I said there is so much in this passage of Scripture that it's almost like we just kind of jump across the top of it, and it's almost like we need multiple hours, and I will not keep you here for multiple hours, but there is so much in this passage, so I hope that you might take maybe one or two pieces from it today and then dig into it further, perhaps throughout the week or maybe as the Lord brings it to mind. Ephesians, the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 3 through 14, kind of work our way through them. And before we read this section of verses, I'd like to make just a few points about the content and kind of the layout here of these verses as Paul brings really a full message of redemption in Christ. In the first three verses or so, verses 3 through 6, he expresses thanks to God the Father, praise to God the Father. In the second section of verses, roughly verses 6 or 7 through 11, it's expressing thanksgiving to Jesus Christ, the Son. And in the last couple verses, verses 12 through 14, there's praise expressed to the Holy Spirit for sealing our salvation and pointing us towards our future inheritance. So there's a whole message here about the parts of the Trinity, the three in one. But yet the whole focus of this really hinges upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our redemption is dependent upon His sacrifice. And as we're going through these verses, be searching for, there's about 12 different aspects of our life in Christ that we can glean from this passage. And we'll speak about those as we're going through here today. Interestingly enough, in the original Greek, and I think Paul must have loved this, because verses 3 through 14 are all one sentence in original Greek. And it's fascinating to me that the whole message of salvation that God had planned before the foundation of the world, Paul took it and put it all into one. And of course, this is kind of typical for Greek anyway, with lack of punctuation and so forth. But it was this 3 through 14 that we have here is one sentence. And all of the work of God encapsulated in one sentence. So I'm going to read these verses to give us the full context, and then we're going to work our way through and talk through a number of concepts, and keeping in mind, of course, our redemption through Jesus Christ. Blessed, verse 3 of Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I'm going to stop there for a moment and just kind of talk about these few verses here. In verse 3, right up at the top, we read, Paul writes to us and says that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And this blessing, I believe, being referred to is the work of God. God is the divine spiritual source of all blessings. And Paul writes that these blessings, really, that he's referring to here, spiritual blessings, belong only to those that are in Christ. So I'm grateful for that this morning. These blessings are from our Father God, the first person of the Trinity, who is in the heavenly domain. They're spiritual blessings in the sense that they are from our Father. And his righteousness, Christ's righteousness, which is imputed to us, that's one of the blessings through God the Father. Also, the resources that we have as believers are from the Father. His divine power and our position in Christ are blessings from God. Those are all blessings that come from the Father through Jesus. They're blessings to believers and believers only. And so I'm so grateful, very grateful for those blessings this morning, and would invite anyone who has not experienced that redeeming power through Jesus Christ to step forward and accept that this morning. Mason, good to see you here today, and I'm grateful, along with you, that you have stepped into that relationship with Jesus. So verse 3, we're blessed in Christ. We're blessed through Christ from God the Father. Verse 4, he says that God, or Paul writes that God chose us in Christ. It says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Jesus, God's Son, was the Passover lamb, perhaps you might say the final Passover lamb, the lamb that was without blemish. And in the Old Testament, they would utilize a lamb without blemish to cover for their sins. And Jesus, the perfect lamb, the perfect paschal lamb, took our place in sacrifice. And as such, his righteousness is imputed to us. And Paul writes that God chose us in eternity past, before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be holy and without blame through Jesus. Did he force us? I don't think so. The way has been paved through Jesus Christ. Our role is to repent and accept. What a redemption story, really. What a Father God, what a Savior. And that's why we're here this morning. This would be somewhat of a useless exercise otherwise. In verse 5, we read, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He's predestined and adopted us. We are adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters by the work of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, the Father God, the all-powerful, the omniscient one, invites us to relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And that is really the full desire of his will, that we be grafted into the vine. And in so doing, we become his sons and daughters. And Paul writes here that it is God's will for this to happen. And our position in Christ is available as we accept that gift of love and grace coming to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, love and grace, of course, do not diminish or bypass the justice of God. And Jesus' death, of which we're commemorating this morning, is where justice was served. As he took our place, he took my place, your place, covered our sin, covered the sins of all mankind for all eternity, once and for all. And as we accept that sacrifice, God has adopted us as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Paul initiates the first of three mentions of praise. And I mentioned earlier that each one of the Godhead are mentioned, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And at the end of each section, Paul initiates praise to each one. And in verse 6, he does that here for the first time. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Beloved with a capital B, Jesus Christ. Later in verses 12 and 14, we'll see this praise being raised again. And I would just like to praise our God this morning. We have already done that in singing, but I'd like to praise him in a prayer. I invite you to join me in your own hearts as we praise him for our adoption. Praise him for choosing us. Praise him for blessing us. Father God, I praise you today for your magnificent plan, even before you had created the world or had created any people. This was your plan. And I thank you for establishing in eternity past and for all of eternity future that those who will might come and receive your blessing, they might accept your choosing, and they might acknowledge your predestination, and that we might value our adoption as sons and daughters of yours. And also ask, Lord, that we might be confident in our acceptance of these blessings through Jesus Christ, the Beloved. And I thank you, Father, for your word, and I pray that you would continue to show yourself strong to us this morning. Show us Jesus as we remember, commemorate, and praise you, our Father, and Christ the Son. I thank you in Jesus' name. Verses 7 through 12. And really, this is focusing on Jesus, the Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We continue to see God's plan unfolding here in these verses, 7 through 12. And in Jesus, we have redemption, and it is through his blood. Those parts of your life, of my life, that are wretched, those base desires that at times we may slip up or not control, those have been redeemed through the work of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. But the key is for us to turn to Jesus. There's no more regular sacrifices of shedding the blood of animals. We've never experienced that. But the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has provided redemption and coverage through his blood. I thank Jesus for that this morning. And I trust that as we partake of the emblems here today, that it might not be just an empty ritual. You know, as you do something many times over and over, it could become just a ritual. But hopefully our life then portrays that we are redeemed. James speaks about this much in his epistle. So I encourage you today, as we thank Christ and thank God the Father for his Son and for our redemption through the shed blood of his Son, that we might avail ourselves of that power and live as the redeemed. And there's also forgiveness of sins that is mentioned in verse 7. And no longer does the weight of sin need to wear us down. I remember I was 12 years old. And for some of you, you're saying, boy, that's a long time ago. And it was a previous century, I'll admit. 1982, it was summer of 1982. And this whole consideration of being a sinner before our God confronted me. And I remember it was summer, we were out of school for summer break, and as I continued to contemplate this, I just felt this overwhelming need to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And this was also at a time in my life and our family where there were significant challenges. So was I just responding to the challenges, or was I responding to the call of Jesus Christ? Well, I picked up the phone And one of those phones, if some of you might remember, or some of you have seen them in history books, they had these long, long cords. And so I took the phone, walked around to one part of the house that was somewhat quiet, and called one of our pastors and said, I'd really like to speak with you because I want to be sure that my name is in the book of life. So, summer of 1982 is when I put my full trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And there have been recommitments since then. And I really think every day is a recommitment. Every day we step forward in our redemption, and as a result of forgiveness of sins, we step forward to serve Christ. So I encourage you today to not only reflect perhaps upon the time that you accepted Jesus Christ, but what has that acceptance meant in the successive days and years, and for some of us, decades. So that was verse 7, redemption and forgiveness of sins. Verses 8, 9, and 10 are really somewhat connected, and as I said earlier, with this entire section, 3 through 14 in the Greek, being one sentence, even the translators couldn't take much of this and put it into more than one sentence in that whole stretch. I think verses 7 through about 10, I think, are all one sentence, even in our delineation of about four verses. But verses 8, 9, and 10, God's grace as evidence through forgiveness of sins is brought alive to us in our understanding and all the wisdom and prudence of the Lord. It says, just backing up to verse 7 to get the full context, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. So we, through Jesus, are now enlightened. The mystery of God's will is that Jesus has paid the ransom. He has covered our sins. And it is his will that none should perish. And as the mystery of his will, which is that all people through Jesus might be saved, just imagine of being in the old covenant and looking forward. We have quite the vantage point where we are in the new covenant. But as the mystery of his will, that all people through Jesus might be saved, in verse 10 it says, God will gather all believers together at the completion of history. I really believe this is referring to end times. And a cross-reference was Revelation 20, the first six verses, and we see where this begins. God drawing his people to himself, and there will be unification under Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:27, all things are made subject to Christ, and God bringing together all things in Christ. And then in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's everyone. That, of course, is in the future, but because of our enlightenment and knowing that Jesus Christ, without a shadow of a doubt, has paid the price for all sin, we can be secure in that fact and knowing that we will escape judgment being covered under the blood. In verse 11, Paul says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance," and then kind of hearkening back to one of the earlier verses, "being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will," really pointing to our inheritance as sons and daughters of God, which is, of course, as we've been saying over and over, through the work of Jesus. And God energizes all believers with the power needed to be complete spiritually. And as such, this divine inheritance will culminate in all believers forever as we are with our Lord in eternity. In verse 12, as in verse 6, Paul once again offers praise. Here, he's offering praise and adoration to Christ, the Son of God. Earlier in verse 6, it was to God the Father, praising Jesus for our redemption, for forgiving us, for enlightening us, and for our inheritance. And I'd also like to praise him this morning once again through prayer. We've praised him through song, but I'd like to praise him through prayer. Jesus, thank you for your redeeming work on the cross. Thank you for your shed blood that has paid the penalty for my sin, for all mankind's sin. I thank you and I praise you for your forgiveness, for forgiving us of our sins, and may we not flaunt that from day to day as we leave here. And I thank you for that forgiveness and the assurance that we have eternal life. I thank you for paying the penalty required to claim victory over sin and over death. And in so doing, in paying that penalty, you've redeemed us. Thank you, Jesus. I also thank you for the enlightenment through your word that we have a future inheritance that cannot be taken away. So I thank you, God, the Father, and I thank you, Jesus, for following through with the will of the Father. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have just a couple more verses here, verses 13 and 14. And here the third person of the Trinity is brought forth. Paul says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, in Jesus you've trusted. The gospel of your..." Let me start over again. "In him who also you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So the Holy Spirit has sealed our salvation and is a guarantee of our inheritance. And the seal referred to, if you just look at the context and also the words used, the seal that Paul is speaking of here is such as sealing a document, which is noting ownership of that document. And in our case, as believers, we are secure in Christ. The seal marks us as authentic followers of Jesus. It's a mark of His ownership and His authority. And as believers, we are sealed, it says, Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And as such, the Spirit was given by God as a guarantee of our future inheritance in glory. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21, and even throughout that chapter, I think you find much more about that. In verse 14 here in Ephesians 1, is our third item of praise. And it's really just for that, that our salvation is secure and our future is pledged. And the Holy Spirit was given as a reminder to us of that. So once again, I'll offer a praise. Father God, we thank You again for Your work, Your power, and Your magnificent plan. And I thank You for the work of the Spirit in our lives. Thank You for sealing our salvation. Thank You for guaranteeing our inheritance. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Christ, the crucified and now risen Savior, who gave His life for our sins, justifying us through His blood. As born-again believers in Jesus, we are partaking of communion this morning in the emblems. And those 12 items that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of this, through Christ, we are blessed in verse 3. In verse 4, we are chosen. Verse 5, we're predestined. Verse 5, we are adopted. Verse 6, we are accepted. Verse 7, we're redeemed. Verse 7, we are forgiven. Verses 8 and 9, we are enlightened. In verse 11, we have been given an inheritance. Verse 13, our salvation is sealed. In verse 14, our salvation is assured. That's who we are through Jesus Christ. I praise His name this morning, and as we partake of these emblems this morning, may we remember that redeeming power of Jesus' blood and the sacrifice of His body that was for all mankind, which includes us here at Dayspring.